Hello and welcome to episode 69 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is December 12th, 2017. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is Slappy Jones 2 and we are both of McFlugel.com. The show notes page for this episode is McFlugel.com/69 where you'll find links to subscribe to our email list, subscribe to this podcast, as well as ways to follow us on all sorts of social media and to find the stuff that we talk about on this episode. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Slappy, and he's going to introduce our episode topic.
Hey, Rollo. Good to be back, being somewhat close to our normal recording time. We did two episodes on that we recorded a week and about a week in advance, right? A little over a week?
Yeah, we did it 2 weeks. We did that 2 weeks ago. And also, if you notice that the audio was a little bit not great on them, it's because after we recorded both episodes, we were recording it in the same room together.
Yeah, that was a first for this show.
Yeah, and I realized I never plugged the microphone in, so it was recording through the, through the microphone internal to my laptop. So,
but I think, if I remember correctly, when we did our Bitcoin episode, the price was about $9,000. And
we're supposed to bring that up, right?
Yeah, so I'm looking at the price on Coinbase right now. It's at $16,550. So, and I think it hit 19 at one point and is back down as far as 14. I mean, it's been all over. It's been the roller coaster, but
it's proven itself even more that it's a Ponzi scheme.
Right? Yeah. Well, the funny thing that I think about it is we were talking about how crazy it is that it hit $9,000. And now if it went down to 9,000, we'd probably be like disappointed. And that was what, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago.
So. Yeah. And also, yeah, if you haven't listened to last week's episode, we talk about how Bitcoin is not a Ponzi scheme. And I was just saying it to Slappy before we started recording is that, you know, we needed to wait a little more than a week before we posted that episode so we'd have it during the normal time slot. And I was worried that, you know, people are kind of, a few people are talking about Bitcoin being a Ponzi scheme right now, but man, is it going to be dead by then? As in the talk about being a Ponzi scheme, is it really?
Since like, it's not.
It's going to be like old news that we're talking about. And it seems like every day more and more people are.
Yeah. So anyway, if you are sitting there thinking, yeah, it is a Ponzi scheme, the answer is no, it isn't, and you should listen to that episode for our explanation. And again, I can't believe that people are saying that. Makes no sense. But let's talk about this week's episode. So we are going to talk about an article we found on wearyourvoicemag.com.
Slappy found it. normally surf these sites.
Yeah, well, it's an intersectional feminist media site. So, you know, I guess intersectional feminism is a term. I'm not really familiar with it. I'm not into the identity politics type stuff. So, I can't define it for you. I could probably Google it, but you can do that too. All we have to know is that it's about feminism and it's one of their intersectional feminist magazines. So the article is titled 10 Things Every Intersectional Feminist Should Ask on a First Date. It is by Laura Witt and it was originally published back in March of 2017, but it was on another site and that's how we found it. How I found it. So we're going to break this down. Now, this was very little preparation on this because I find these things entertaining when they throw out all these words that a lot of them we probably never heard. But just think to yourself, what would you do if someone asked you these questions on your first date? I'm sure it would go really well. So let's get into it. First question that every intersectional feminist should ask on a first date is one, do you believe that Black Lives Matter? Rollo, do you believe that Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, this is going to be shocking. But yes, I do believe that Black Lives Matter. But it's a loaded question. because one, I have the article in front of me, and it's not just asking, do you believe that black people's lives matter? It's about the movement. So it's kind of ambiguous. I don't want, and, but we know what they, what's meant by that. As far as the movement goes, I mean, as long as they're fighting, you know, police brutality and everything, you know, I don't care who they defend. If it's a black person that got attacked by the police or not, I mean, I think it's good. Where they get a little bit deeper into the woods and some of their political agenda for some people, then, you know, obviously I disagree with it. It's not, shouldn't be groundbreaking that a libertarian, of the kind that we are might take issues with some of, you know,
some of their political ideas.
Right. Which, but the idea that, you know, that the police and government shouldn't kill black people. Yeah. I think we're on the same page.
Anybody. Yeah.
And yeah, and just here's the first header of the article, just to set it up for, because how I want to talk about this stuff in a specific way. They say, it starts out, if you're going to date someone, you want to make sure they're anti-oppression. So we can talk more deeply about that a little bit, I guess, afterward on the questions, but just keep that in mind that this is, they're talking about, are you anti-oppression? That's what they want to know.
Right. And there's 10 questions to find that out.
Right.
So number two.
So I guess I failed already.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do think that Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
You know, answer what's asked. Don't expand. Do you think Black Lives Matter? Yes. Okay, so number two, what are your thoughts on gender and sexual orientation?
If a woman asked me that on a first date, my response would be, you're a woman who is heterosexual, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know, like, what are your thoughts?
Can you imagine being,
thoughts on gender and sexual orientation?
Can you imagine being asked that on a first date?
Yeah, no, I couldn't. What are my thoughts on gender and sexual? What are you talking about? What do you mean? What are my thoughts on gender? I guess
it just means that, I don't know. It's 'cause,
well, let's read the little thing underneath, which I didn't do yet. The gender binary is a tiny box, and I wish it didn't exist, but it does. I wouldn't want to be with anyone who is queer phobic. One out of many important elements to dismantling patriarchy is to abolish gender roles, as well as the limited understanding that we have about sexuality and gender itself. I can't imagine being with someone who is transphobic. As a feminist and woman of color, it would be a betrayal of what I stand for. Ignoring trans misogynoir would be to deny one of the biggest, most despicable problems that we face. I mean, I think we're pretty consistent with the way we just kind of look at the non-aggression principle and say, I don't know, don't want to harm anybody.
Yeah, I think,
I mean, as long as you're not harming anyone else, then, you know,
I think it's kind of up to the couples to decide what the roles are in their relationship. So if they want to reverse what's traditional, I don't care.
Go for it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's funny because she says the limited understanding that we have about sexuality and gender itself, but you're going to be super critical of someone who disagrees with your very specific ideas about it. So
Right. Seems
like a little bit of a contradiction there.
Right. How do you work to, this is question number three. How do you work to dismantle sexism and misogyny in your life?
By not being a sexist or misogynist.
Yeah.
I know that from the normal viewership of this magazine and this author compared to me, I think that they think there's a lot more sexism and misogyny in the world than I do. Not that it doesn't exist. I think there absolutely is, you know, it can be there. I don't know.
It's Well, certainly. I mean, there's always going to be racism. I mean, probably always going to be racism, sexism, misogyny somewhere in the world.
So if I see it, I, you know, do my best to point it out and to call it out. You know, oh, here's a good example. In the libertarian, because not that it's libertarian to think this way, but they try to latch on a libertarian, is the MGTOW movement, the men going their own way. The stuff that I found most of them saying, and it's probably not all of them, but a lot of them are pretty sexist. And it's just like a reactionary thing against, you know, the third wave feminism type stuff. And they just act the same exact way, except they, you know, hold men up and try to put women down. So
yeah, I was going to say,
I'll call them extra. They're weird and annoying.
Yeah. That's what I was, I mean, I don't really know that stuff as much as you do. I know you've interacted with them more than I have.
It's the most painful thing in the world to talk to
me,
these people.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it sounds a lot like, you know, switching the genders of third wave feminism. It's really weird. I think both of them are really weird, to be honest with you. But
right. And that's not to say that I've been trying to think through these ideas because I've been seeing a lot of it by people that I interact with on, like, you know, Twitter and the libertarian worlds talking about this kind of stuff, people whose opinions I respect. So I'm trying to, you know, not just dismiss, you know,
of course, I try not to just dismiss ideas anywhere, but I just don't think in that collective way at all. So it's right, like, right. If someone's mad at white people, I'm like, well, I don't like that guy. What does that have to do with me? Or if, you know, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, well, I'm not even talking about connected. So yeah. So whenever, like, I heard someone, I was saying this before we went on, but someone in the office on work last week talked about, which I assume was Donald Trump, because that's all they talk about, is he doesn't respect women. And I just think that's such an odd thing to say. He doesn't respect women. Like, he married one. He has a daughter. I'm sure he respects them. Like, he may have disrespected a woman or many women, but it just, I don't know, just to say he disrespects women. Like, we can't have a president who disrespects women. What are women? Like, can he disrespect men? I don't get that. I don't understand what that even has to do with anything. It doesn't make sense to me. So I'm trying to understand it, but I don't think that way. So, you know, if someone disrespects people of Irish heritage, I don't take offense to that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm hesitant to, you know,
no, I don't want to say,
not because I'm afraid of saying, so it's just because I don't have a lot of these. I'm trying to think these things through and without just giving like a boilerplate answer.
Right.
I don't have it all clear in my head with what I want to say.
Yeah, I'm not talking about how other people think or should think. I'm talking about myself. Right. Yeah. I don't think that way. It's hard for me to get to wrap my head around someone saying he disrespects women because he said something about a woman sometime or did something somewhere. I don't, like, that doesn't make sense to me. I can't, I try to wrap my head around that one, but
Well, I guess that the idea is that if you have a president that's going out and being disrespectful to certain women, then it's bad for women as a whole because that's who, you know, the president, for better or for worse, represents whatever about the country. And if that's accepted, then how does that reflect on the rest of society? I guess is the point of that sort of thing, not necessarily talking about the woman.
Yeah. Well, the truth is that, and we all know this, is that it's just the wrong party with the president, because when Bill Clinton was in office, you didn't hear this, except for from the Republicans, right?
Yeah. And Al Franken respect women.
Yeah. And here's the deal. Why does any of this matter while you're bombing other countries? Like, shouldn't that take precedence? You know, it's like, this guy disrespects women, he can't be president. Like, never mind the fact that they're bombing people and starving people, and, you know, that never comes up. Like, that doesn't disqualify you. In fact, that makes you a better candidate.
That's why a lot of these, as far as politicians go, that it never even crosses my mind, because yeah, exactly, I haven't gotten past the fact that they are committing crimes against humanity. that I would even have to, that I would drill all the way down to the thing on my list of, does he respect women or not? It doesn't matter if he respects women or not, because I've already thrown him out with the trash.
Right. Exactly.
With his other policies.
So we didn't even get to that. Yeah, exactly. All right. Question number four, moving on. What are your thoughts on sex work?
I don't care. Like, I'm a libertarian. So, if that's what you want to do, if two people voluntarily agree to a contract or a transaction, then do it.
I don't think you should go to jail.
Right. That's fine. I mean, again, they use the misogynoir word, which maybe I should know what that word is or even how to pronounce it, but I don't. I don't think we need to talk about this one.
There's no, that's kind of straightforward. Look, whatever. I mean, I think most people listening to this kind of know the libertarian stance.
Right.
Are you a supporter of the BDS movement? Do you know what the BDS movement is?
I do, because I'm reading it right now. The Boycott, Divest, Sanctions, an effort to end international support for Israel's oppression of Palestinians. Okay. I probably, without knowing much about this actual effort, I am against Israel's oppression of the Palestinians and all the garbage that they're doing over there. Well, let's be clear. The Israeli government's oppression of Palestine. I think that the war should be ended over there. I think the Israeli government commits acts of terrorism against Palestine.
The one thing, I mean, divest, I'm guessing they're saying stop giving money to Israel. Good. I think we should stop giving money to all countries.
Sure.
But sanctions, what about that?
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, they're talking about putting sanctions on Israel. I mean, I don't think that's a good idea.
Or even the boycott. I mean, not trade with them, but that's hurting the Israeli people that have nothing to do with anything.
Many of them, anyway.
Right. It's like saying that because I live in the United States that I am also guilty of being the person that's blockading Yemen, which...
Right. But, if you want to boycott, that's up to you. I mean, I'm not saying you should have to trade with anyone you don't want to trade with. So, boycott if you want.
Absolutely. Certainly. It's a great nonviolent tool to affect the way that people act.
But I think boycott, fine. Divest, I am assuming. Now, I guess you could be talking about any private company that's investing in Israel, but I'm assuming they're talking about foreign aid through government. But sanctions is a big one, because that's a big no-no for me. So I would not be a supporter of the BDS movement if it includes sanctions.
Right.
So I guess that eliminates me. Whatever. We'll continue. Number six, what is your understanding of settler colonialism and indigenous rights?
I don't distinguish between indigenous rights and the rights of anybody else, because humans all have the same rights. So if settlers come over to another place and they just try to steal their land, that's wrong. I mean, that's theft. It violates the indigenous people's rights. Now, obviously, there's a lot more behind what this question is from this person. Probably some sort of like reparations type thing, if I may make a guess about what's being talked about. That said, because it's one of the things where it's like, oh, white people came over from Europe and murdered all the Indians and everything over here when they came to the New World. And that happened. But there were also a lot of voluntarily agreed to treaties between the settlers and the Native Americans. William Penn bought the land from the Indians when he came over. I think there were a few other settlements. They did the same thing where it was not stolen. So it's wrong to come over and rape and pillage and steal the land. That doesn't mean that every time that settlements happen, that's what happened.
Correct.
I have no idea if that's what they're even asking
about. I don't know what they're going for. Yeah, I mean, like, if you're talking about, so I don't know. I really, I'm talking about Native Americans as well as your date thinks Native Americans are tropes or relics of the past. No thanks. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Well, number seven, do you think capitalism is exploitative? So
if I were allowed to pass through these questions up to this point, this would be where I would no longer be considered dateable.
Yeah, well, we'll take it a step further. What about how do you define capitalism?
Right.
Because if we're talking about crony capitalism, if we're talking about big businesses influencing a government, yeah, then if that's what capitalism is, then I'm against capitalism. But I think most people, when they refer to capitalism, I could be incorrect here, but most people are talking about a free market.
Well, let me read what this author wrote as the explanation here, because I'm pretty sure that she has no idea what capitalism is.
Okay.
So she writes, anti-capitalism, especially in the U.S., is imperative if you have an understanding of systemic racism, the prison industrial complex, and 13th Amendment and exploitation. Capitalism, for one, teaches us that we are only valuable if we produce capital. That means that if you aren't contributing to the system with your labor, your life means almost nothing. If your date says that, says they're anti-fascist and use part of the resistance, sorry, I can't read right now. She did not write that little last part. Let me start that sentence over again. If your date says that they're anti-fascist and part of the resistance, but they're cool with exploiting labor from communities of color and they support the school to prison pipeline, then there's a good chance they'll only value you for your ability to nurture them without any reciprocation. Capitalism teaches us that we are only valuable if we produce capital. What?
Yeah, and capitalism is exploiting labor from communities of color and they support the school to prison pipeline. I'm speechless.
You know, there's the whole thing where they say that they talk about the private prisons and how that's capitalism, but they miss the point that that's not actual capitalism because it's not free markets. There's not actually a free market for the prison. Just because you have a private business running a basically as contractors for the government does not make that capitalism. Makes it crony capitalism or whatever. But it's certainly not the free market capitalism that we're talking about.
Right. So again, if that's how they're defining capitalism as the private prison system, well, yeah, I'm against that. So
yeah, and also just this capitalism teaches us that we are only valuable if we produce capital. Like, I don't think she knows what capital is.
Someone's got to produce consumer goods.
Right, exactly. So she's okay with the guy who's a mega bajillionaire who only produces consumer goods?
I guess.
That no one considered, not that she's okay with him, but he's not considered valuable in the capitalist system.
At least she didn't go into that. Yeah, she doesn't know what capital is, clearly, by that paragraph. So question number eight. Can any human be illegal? I would refer you to any of our previous podcasts or articles on our website. I think you know our answer there.
Yeah, skimming through her explanation here, it's obvious she's talking about immigration, and I think that
write that in there.
Yeah, I think it's this one. We're probably pretty close to her on this.
We might even be better than her on this.
I would. Yeah.
Well, we can't be worse. I know that.
I know.
All right, number nine. Yeah, we'll move on. That's a quick one, easy one.
We've had a number of podcast episodes and a lot of articles about our views on immigration. And just in case it's not perfectly clear, we do not believe the state should regulate or have any say in who or what goes where.
Or exist.
Yes.
Okay, so number nine. Do you support Muslim Americans and non-Muslim people from Islamic countries?
What about Muslims from Islamic countries?
Wait, do you support Muslim Americans and non-Muslim people? Yeah, no, she doesn't say that. She says Muslim Americans and non-Muslim people. Islamic countries. What? Yeah.
It's again. I mean, it's a language thing right here.
Yeah, because do I support them? Like, I don't have any living in my house.
Right. I don't support necessarily. I mean, I don't support any large group. I don't support white people. I don't support black people. I don't generalize that broadly.
Yeah.
I don't support people based on their genetics or, you know, what they look like. I, you know, more about their ideologies and, you know, my relationships with them.
All right. Well, like we said earlier, we value all people. And,
right.
All people have the same rights. And so if supporting Muslim Americans and non-Muslim people from Islamic countries means that I believe they have the same exact rights as I have, then yeah, sure.
Sure.
I'm good with that. Does your this is number 10. Does your allyship include disabled folks? Is that like a boat?
Yeah, Bodie McBoakface. I don't know how, like, who is against, who is, like, not, and who is, like, against disabled people?
I have a feeling what this means. I don't know. Like, they talk about lack of empathy. I mean, apathy is...
Disabled folks are subject to shaming and violence because humans are awful and lack empathy.
I mean, we always talk about empathy.
Yeah, I mean, if someone attacks a disabled person, I mean, it's obviously
an awful thing and not accepted. Like,
it happened. There was a couple months ago. There was a dude that punched a disabled guy in the face. He was drunk, got into an argument or something, and punched the guy in the face. And his life is basically ruined now because, he lost his business. Everyone hates him because he attacked a disabled person. And so I don't think, I mean, yeah, it happens. We just gave an example of a disabled person being assaulted and abused. And there's, you know, we've seen other things. Like when those kids recorded them threatening to cut a mentally disabled Trump supporter up and record them. I mean, yeah, this stuff happens and it's absolutely terrible. But because there's small pockets of people that do that, I don't think that, you know, the world, humanity as a whole is really that terrible on with disabled people. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's other cultures or countries in the world where they treat them really poorly. But I mean,
I also get annoyed with the way this person writes, where it says disabled folks are subject to shaming and violence because humans are awful and lack empathy. Like, what are you? Are you?
Yeah, that's really condescending.
Better than me. It's very condescending. It just annoyed me. Just wanted to point that out.
That's 10 questions. How do you think we did?
Well, I mean, the short of it is I probably wouldn't date an intersectional feminist, which I think this is kind of... kind of funny in a way is that, well, maybe I'm wrong here, but this is just coming to mind. I mean, if you're a feminist, shouldn't you want women to be the best they can be and who they are? And if you say you're against oppression, and not that it's oppressive, but it's kind of controlling or telling them how to act and how they have to think and the things they should ask, doesn't really seem like a feminist idea to me.
Right. I agree.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think that's what when feminism first became a movement, I think that's exactly what it was. And then you've got, you know, the third wave, and I don't even know what names to correctly call them anymore. But it turned into something that it originally wasn't.
I mean, I like to, if you think of the word feminist and what it should mean, I would call myself a feminist in that I think women should have exactly the same rights as men or anyone else for that matter.
Sure.
I have a wife and I have a daughter, and I'm not going to tell my daughter she shouldn't do, like, I mean, yeah, I'm going to raise her, but I don't even know, like, that doesn't, it's a weird thing to me, the whole feminist movement. I mean, I'm also not a woman, so I haven't, you know, maybe if I was, I would have a different opinion on this, but.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point I was making, or I wanted to try to make earlier, is that I think that reality is perception. So yeah. If you're in a world that you feel is dominated by men, then, and something happens to a woman and it doesn't get corrected, then I completely understand why you're going to have those thoughts. And I'm not saying they're necessarily wrong, because I think every situation is different.
I'm thinking of my working career here. My first job, I reported to a woman. My second job, a woman was my boss. My job now, there's more women in my office than men. I mean, I never thought of it as like...
I work in the, you know, the refining industry, and it's historically dominated by men. But in one of our departments, in an engineering department, it's mostly women. Now, my department, it's mostly men, because that's where... Like we mostly hire mechanical engineers for my department. And if you go around colleges, it's mostly men in mechanical engineering. Whereas even when I graduated college, the chemical engineering class was half and half between men and women. And so that's kind of how our chemical engineers are split up. It's about half and half, probably a little bit more women than men. I've done recruiting for my company and to hire kids out of college, and you know, it's me and another woman that were doing the interviewing. And we ended up hiring from the school we went to, hiring, I think, three women the 1 year and no men. I think we had a lot more. We extended offers to more. And some of the men didn't take it, but it wasn't like, I think even the people we recommended for on-site interviews, it was split in half between men and women. We had no like plans to be like, oh, let's get a certain ratio or anything. It's just the way it worked out.
I don't understand the obsession with the ratios and all that, because don't you just want the best people regardless?
Right, and that's what we were doing.
Men or women, I mean.
And the three that we hired have been doing great, so.
Kind of seems like arbitrary to... just brag about how many women you have. I mean,
yeah,
like, I don't know. Don't you just want the best people regardless?
Yeah. But again, you know, I'm trying to put myself, looking at it from the different perspective.
Yeah, I know. I guess
if I ever gather my thoughts about it better, it'd be a good thing to talk about. Good little discussion. Because I do think that, and I know we're getting off the rails a little bit, but I do think there's been, it's reactionaryism. So you've got the, you know, what we'll call the crazy feminists who say that men are evil and that all men are evil. And then, so you have a backlash from people who are kind of that anti third wave feminism that just dismiss anything that attaches the word feminism with it, which is, I think, incorrect to do. But anyway, we made the point earlier about the, you know, making sure the article, the point of this is to make sure your date is anti-oppression. The thing, and here's why I think it's insane to actually ask any sort of questions like this on a first date or just meeting someone, whether or not it's a romantic interest or not. I think the vast majority of people believe that they're anti-oppression. I think most people have good intentions. Now, obviously, you know, we're both libertarian anarchists, so our views on things are a lot different from the vast majority of people. I believe, you know, that most non-anarchists believe in things that create oppression. But I don't think they're doing it intentionally. And so to not distinguish that, I think you're just going to make yourself miserable.
Also, yeah. And if like, imagine if, because this is true. I mean, pretty much everyone we talk to disagrees with us generally, right? I mean,
right.
In your daily life, you don't come across too many ANCAPs.
Exactly. So
imagine if we just said, you know, guys like, no, I'm for small government. I just think we need the police and the military. And then you just go, you're an oppressor. Like, yeah, you're not going to get anywhere with them. It's not even a good tactic.
Yeah. So you're not going to attract too many people, I don't think.
You're not going to get too many people right. to ask these questions.
And really, I only have one question for me, or that I ask, is how do you feel about tractors?
And if they have any feelings about tractors, that's weird and you should run.
Yeah.
But you got it in. That's good. I thought you were going to miss it. I'm waiting for it.
No, again, that's the only note that I wrote for this episode, other than what time we started, so we could see if we're like way too short or kind of running a while.
Yeah, so
I think we're at a good length though right now.
Good.
Oh, you know what? We didn't talk about a free market success story.
No, do you have one?
I've done nothing but work. I haven't like, but not that the, you know what?
All right, here you go. Let's talk. Bitcoin's popular still 2 weeks later. One thing that people often talk about, this is really even before most people knew what Bitcoin was. I think most people at least know of it. If they don't know what it is, they've at least heard of it by now. Maybe not, but certainly in the news a lot more. When we would talk about how life would be in a free society and not having a central bank, people will always say, oh, what? So just anyone can create money? And the answer would be yes, but not everyone has to accept money. And you can kind of see that in the all currency world.
Oh, yeah, literally, not to steal your thunder, but yeah, literally anyone can create a Bitcoin-like coin, as in you take the source code because it's all open source, and I could go and make a coin that's called Rollo Coin, and all I have to do is just like
change a thing or two, you know?
Yeah.
If you even want to, right? I mean, you could just directly copy it, and mm-hmm. I don't see why not. Just change the name. But people need to sell it and buy it and trade with it and use it. And so if no one wants to accept Rollo coin, then it's has no value, which is subjective. So,
well, no one's going to accept it because everyone's going to be accepting tractor coin.
Tractor coin would be the big one, right? You know, and that's backed by tractors or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only thing. If you go on some of the exchanges, you can see there's probably over 1,000 coins out there. Some of them have next to no value at all. Some of them probably literally have zero value, and others are worth $16,000. So it's all over the place. Anyone, literally anyone, can create money, but in order to spend it, you need someone to want that money, to see some value in it. And so I guess the success story is really just kind of more evidence of how a market works. No one's really complaining that there's so many different coins out there, and there's people working those coins, trying to come up with things to make it better, more marketable, quicker, more transactional, you know, having some kind of perk or an easier way to mine or whatever to get people to want that coin and use it. And most of them fail. There's only really a handful that anyone really wants. So that's the market at work. So that's my free market story. What do you think about that? Not bad for not discussing before, huh?
I like it.
All right.
So with that,
hopefully we're not now branded as like whatever the terms they use to call someone who's not an intersectional feminist.
Or or the other way around. I think some people are going to listen to that and
say we are intersectional feminists.
Yeah.
Well, we just say treat everyone the same. And if that's bad, not, I shouldn't say treat everyone the same because you shouldn't treat everyone the same, but everyone has equal rights.
Right.
And we respect humans and we have empathy and we see people for people. And that's why we don't group them into groups.
Right. And that's why it's kind of weird and awkward to talk about this kind of stuff, because you know, we're coming from it from
just a different,
a very different frame of paradigm, different frame of reference.
It's hard, and that's what I was trying to say early on. It's hard for me to even think this way or comment on it because it's just not my world.
Yeah, and if you are or know someone who is someone who has some of these views that is capable of having a discussion with it about
let's get
it,
them on. We'll talk.
We had a politician on the show.
Yeah,
we had a good time with him.
Yeah, so if you know anyone who's like who would listen to this and be really angry at us for kind of being somewhat dismissive, trying to take it serious, but to be honest, it's hard for me to keep a straight face with some of these things. But I'd be happy to have a good conversation with someone if they want to explain it.
Absolutely.
So.
All right. With that, the show notes page for this episode is mcflugel.com/69. You'll find links to this article that we were talking about. And we may throw in, you know what, for good measure, we may even throw in some of our immigration stuff that we did.
Yeah, I think also, it's really good. So let's put it out there.
Fine. There's ways to subscribe to our email newsletter, as well as subscribing to this podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and tell your friends. Yeah.
Yeah, and always be against war.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. So with that, we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Peace.